Okay, I was still jotting down verses and thoughts and whatever until Brother House showed up. Actually, I was done a little bit before, and you didn't interrupt me. But I'm continuing some of the thoughts that that we talked about last week. I think it's important. I don't claim to be an expert on prophecy, and I wish we had a smarter and better preacher and pastor, but I don't see one coming on the horizon as pitiful as this one is. And so we go on, you know, by the grace of God. And we live in these kind of confusing times. Last week we talked about sometimes Antichrist and the mark of the beast, vaccinations, tattoos, and all these things that seem to be leading and preparing for these things. Read after a brother this week that has some interesting thoughts, and I don't 100% agree with him. He didn't claim to be 100% accurate either, because we don't know all these things. But they become clearer as the time goes on. And I want to talk some more today, some more thoughts on the beast and his mark. And last week we reflected on some verses in Revelation 13. Revelation 13, verse 17. And that no man might buy or sell, save that he had the mark and the name of the beast and the number of his name. And how can anyone not see that we're in such a state of affairs? And it's interesting, Revelation talks about at least a couple different beasts and an Antichrist. And to some extent, at least, I think the first beast that comes from the sea and whatever and gives power to the Antichrist, we can see these beasts, and they may take a personal appearance as well. But they represent governments. They represent empires. We talk of the state. I want to talk about worshiping the beast. You know, we're talking about folks who worship the state. Somebody wrote a book. I can't remember his name. I could have looked it up if I'd have thought about it before I was up here, but I didn't. Wrote a book about democracy, the God that failed. And people turn to the state, and the state wants to replace God. We pledge allegiance to the state, you know, and the state wants to take care of us and watch over us and care for us. At least that's what they tell us. And folks give their obedience unto the state. And it's a form of secular worship. You know, all worship may not take a spiritual form. These latter-day things may not be entirely spiritual in the worship of the beast, but we're the subjects of, we worship those we obey. But I think there's elements of that as well when we were talking about the witchcraft and these other things that are involved, and even pharmakia, pharmacy. All this is tied together. And maybe my little pea brain isn't big enough to wrap around it all, but it's there. Verse 17 tells us that people won't be able to buy or sell unless they have his mark or his name or the number of his name. And again, all sorts of speculation about verse 18. And let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of man. And his number is 666. That's 6, 3 times over. 666. 6 is the number of man, and it goes back when was man created? On the sixth day. And seven is the number of completion, a number it reflects God often. Man's incomplete. And he was created on the sixth day. And then when we got 666, and that may imply some sort, perhaps, of an evil trinity. Man that's proclaimed God. These beasts that represent the state, that represent government. It's not something new or unique, and you could just spend years tying together Daniel and Revelation and whatever, and they do tie together. But Daniel spoke of beasts. And he used that term beast to refer to empires, to states. I guess you could have called them nations back then, but just a couple minutes to look at a verses over there in Daniel 7. And we'll begin at verse 3. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. And the first was like a lion and had eagle wings. And I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked. And it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand upon the feet as a man. And a man's heart was given to it. And most biblical interpreters in the light of subsequent history identify that with the Babylonian Empire. This lion with wings. And then he goes on to a second empire in verse 5. And behold, another beast, the second, like to a bear. And it raised up itself on one side. And it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. And that represented the Medo-Persian Empire that was to come. Verse 6, And this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and the dominion was given to it. And you can go back and study these things and relate them. And this one's understood as the Greek Empire. And you know the Greek Empire divided, and you had the various divisions of it, and it just reflects those things. And then in verse 7, he says, And this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth. And it devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. And Daniel here is speaking of the Roman Empire. But as you continue to read Daniel and what we have in Revelation, it not only the Roman Empire, but a coming restoration of that empire, which may not necessarily, be located physically in Rome. Maybe New York, maybe Washington, I don't know. But this restored empire, we see, what are they talking about? Resets, one world governments. And I considered the horns, and beheld there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And beheld, in this horn were the eyes like the eyes of man, and the mouth speaking great things. And I beheld till the thrones were cast down. And again, we see these beasts represent empires, states. And the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool, his throne like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. Christ returns and overturns it all. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands, thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. the judgment was set, and the books were opened. And I beheld, then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld, even until the beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flames. And again, we read concerning the Antichrist and the false prophet and whatever when the Lord comes and these things. So, understanding the beast here as a reflection of the empire, of the state, of worship of the state, of absolute obedience to the state. And we see that coming about. Diane sent me a video, and I looked at it, and then I sent it out to everyone on our list. I tried to post it on Facebook, and they wouldn't let me. As soon as they saw the URL, it was disallowed. But it's called the New Normal Documentary. And it touches on these things, not necessarily from a biblical view or from the view of prophecy, but it touches on these things that are happening before us and we ought to know about. And I send it to everybody on my mailing list for the church and for Free Florida First. And if you're not on any of those things, you should send me an email. There's a lot of people that like to get what I publish. I publish my blog and stuff every week, but I warn them, you know, time's coming. They won't let me do that anymore. Mm-hmm. The safest way for now is email, and they'll probably take that away as well when time comes. Beware the worship of the state. And it is an alternative to the worship of the true God. We're told not to have any gods before Him. And I believe His true people, the elect of God, will discern these things. Maybe not immediately. You know, I look over our list here of the people we pray for, and there's about half of them I know are standing real strong and being vocal about it, and the rest of them I'm not sure about. Probably. Or they feel uneasy about things, but, you know, they kind of go along with the state. Some of them may have received the vaccines, I don't know. I don't think that was a good idea, but I don't think, you know, that that's necessarily... But the time's coming! And even those who truly are the elect of God might be temporarily drawn away. I'll tell you, here's how the Lord said it, Nick. Sobering. The Lord, Matthew 24:24. He said, and there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, certainly in the religious realm, but again, the state exalts itself, and shall show great signs and wonders. We got magic elixirs that will shoot in your body. Insomuch, now here's what the Lord says, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Now, the way he says that makes it pretty clear the elect can't be deceived. But if it were possible, it's going to be such a great deception, such a luring away, that even the elect may be drawn towards that. They won't ultimately and finally be deceived, but I think folks are coming under a great delusion. We need to exert care. We know that God knows those that are His and He will keep them. John 10, the Lord says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. We can rest in Him. We can trust in Him. But a deception is coming that's so great that if it were possible, even Even the elect would be deceived. Paul writes to young Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:19, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." The Lord knows those that are His. But brother, you're supposed to be departing from iniquity. You're not going to say, well, yeah, these Arminians that trust in themselves and their own actions and their own decisions. And it's like, well, I made a decision, so it don't matter what happens. I can do anything I want to. It don't matter. There's something wrong there. I can't look at their hearts. But it doesn't appear to be the sort of thing that's truly done by the regeneration of the Spirit. And so we see the rising secular governments, the bowing down to the state, the possible, if it were possible, the deception of the elect, this great delusion that goes forth, perhaps is going forth. The world's leaders and those that would be its controllers trying to see how far they can push mankind. How far can they push this thing? And the submitting to the absolute authority of the secular government. I believe there's eventually going to be actually some sort of a mark or implant.
Yes.
This brother wasn't even sure about that. He just said, you know, that's the total submission to the state. But I think the way it's phrased seems that there's going to be something.
Mm-hmm.
And we know the technology's been there for a long time. You know, to plant something in your hand or in your forehead. And I don't think people are going to know what they're doing. Giving absolute obeisance to the state. Our Baptist forefathers understood things about the Antichrist and some of these other things. And again, there's some things that you ought not be dogmatic about. You know, many think the Antichrist is going to be a Roman Catholic Pope. And indeed, the Pope is Antichrist. John says, even Antichrist is already amongst us. He is Antichrist. Is he the Antichrist? Or will the Pope be the Antichrist? I don't know. Not for sure. Other folks speculate that it's going to be some rising Jewish world leader. And scriptures talk somewhat about the religion of his fathers and so forth. And folks take it from that. There's going to be the rise of some great secular charismatic leader. And folks, I don't know. I wish I could tell you for sure, but I can't. But beware. Beware, folks. Folks won't like this, but beware, folks, like Barack Hussein Obama. Beware, folks, like Donald J. Trump. I did one of those number things. You can do that with anything. But if I did it right, you do DJT, and you take the numbers together, and if they're double digits, you add them together, and then you add them all together, and then what they're together, you add them together, they came up to 6. So there you go. I could have done that wrong. I was doing that in my mind as I was laying in bed, I think, this morning. It's going to be somebody that convinces the world. We've got the answers. We've got the solutions. You just have to turn yourself over to us. What are they telling you now? You're not going to own anything, and you're going to be happy. You're going to have better health care. You're going to have free education. You're going to have a guaranteed government income, UBI, because the machines are going to replace you. You're not going to have any other work to do. They've got plans for we, the unwashed masses. And they're probably going to be worse than that. This great reset. It's all within God's providence, though. We understand whatever's coming, and He's going to balance the books. And as Daniel talked about, and as John talks about in Revelation, they're going to be cast in the lake of fire. It's going to be serious business for them. There's going to be payday someday. There's going to be a retribution. It's going to be an accounting. But those that worship the beast, the state, you know, cradle to grave. And we're almost there. It's been waxing worse and worse throughout our lifetimes. Secular government wants absolute control over the lives of people. And in order to do that, they're going to have to remove any kind of genuine religion. Mm-hmm. Anything that might stand opposed to the state. Now, a lot of religion today will just easily be incorporated into that. And not to get too much off topic, but it comes to my mind. We talk about the striped rag and pledging allegiance to the empire and whatever. You know, that rag will be happily incorporated and all that. The flag of our fathers, and again, they weren't perfect men, but they stood up against this sort of thing that was rising even in their day. Those Confederates that we reflect upon. And we would do well to pick up their banner. Folks say, oh no, you need a different one, something that's not going to offend people. People need to be offended! The vast majority of, quote, Christianity is very compatible with the state, or else totally integrated into the state. The thing that's going to pose a problem is genuine biblical Christianity. That means folks like you and me. And it's just a remnant. But it is a remnant. And it's God's remnant. And so again, they'll demand absolute obedience. We're starting there now. You know, you can't go out in public unless you've got a mask on. You can't go into a restaurant unless you've got a vaccination. You can't continue in your work. You can't hold church services unless everybody's vaccinated and wearing a mask. This external emblem of submission. Mask is a very simple thing. Anybody can do it. They say, well, it's simple. It's just a mask. Just do it. I saw today some school out in Texas, of all places. And they took a song from, I forget, some Disney movie or something, and redid it. And it was about just wearing a mask. It's just a mask. It's easy. It's simple to do. Just put a cloth over your face. And they had vulgar language and all in it, too. And they're showing this to kids in school. In Texas! There'll be a note of it in next week's paper, but you can find it if you look around. It was like a princess or something. I don't know all those things that go on, but it was taken from some fairly contemporary, I think, Disney thing. Just wear a mask. Just simple. It's just simple. Just do it. And put one of the things in there was just trust Fauci. I mean, they're telling kids this. Those folks are evil and wicked and demonic. These folks that want to tell you about wearing a mask or getting a vaccine, they think that men can have babies. They think that women can have male parts just because they say they're a man or a woman. They think that a baby in the womb is not even human. It can be murdered. Well, they wouldn't call it murder. It's just scraping away a tissue or a cell. And it begins with these sort of things, and it will culminate, I think, with probably a literal mark, a literal implant.
Yes.
Beware, the deception is going to be so great that if it were possible, it could deceive the elect. And it indicates to me that perhaps some of the elect are, you know, are not really thinking about things right now. They're being drawn a little bit. I believe if they're truly elect, the Lord will wake them up. But you know what? None of us kind of in the flesh like what's going on, but I want to tell you something. It's revealing character. Folks are showing who they really are. We can identify folks. There's a great divide. I didn't make it up. It's those folks that made it up. But that great divide is showing who people are, where they stand, who you can trust, who you can't trust. And maybe there's some folks that right now say, I don't know if I can trust them or not. Well, then don't trust them. Maybe they're still on our side. I don't know. But character is being revealed. Well, I have one more thing I wanted to get into. Maybe I'll do that next week, and maybe I'll even have time after I get into it to get into Galatians. But and it's the whole point of your body, you know. They tell us the abortion, the woman says, you know, my body, my choice. Yeah, but that living person within her is not her body. Beyond that, you know, when it comes to the political realm, I would categorize myself as a libertarian, but a Christian libertarian. And I think in the political realm, in the secular realm, yes, your body, your choice. You want to put whatever you want to into it. I don't care. It doesn't give you the right to murder another person. But there's a bigger picture. And whether you're a Christian or not, your body doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. And we're going to take this body that belongs to God and let them inject things that may well alter the very essence, DNA. We're going to let them do that to something that belongs to God. Well, I've already preached on that some. We'll look a few verses next week and may not get on to anything else. We may. I can't promise anything. And I'm sorry that, you know, we're filled up with these things and we're going to kind of be that way tomorrow night too. This is the front lines of the battle. We didn't necessarily choose it. But when you're invaded, you have to fight where they invade. And push them back. And by the grace of God, we will stand and fight. And God will work His perfect will. He will balance the books. But duty is ours. And consequences are God's. So again, I rambled on this week, and who knows what I said. But hopefully it was helpful to God's people and honoring to God. And that's what I pray.
Yes.
We'll take our hymnals this morning and stand and sing a closing hymn, number 167. Not leaning on me, not leaning on the government, but leaning on the everlasting arms. 167.
Lean, 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 lean
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for your sovereignty. Lord, for those everlasting arms that we can lean upon and none other. Lord, we thank you for the everlasting love you had for your people. For those that were chosen in Christ before the world was. Lord, for that remnant that you have in this day and age. Lord, I pray you be with us. Give us wisdom and discernment and understanding. As a great deception goes forward that indeed if it were possible even the elect could be deceived. Lord, we thank you that that's not possible. But Father, we desire to stand aright and true, to never waver, but to be all that you would have us to be. And Lord, we know we can't do that in our own strength and our own power. And so we pray that you would give that to your people. Pray for the brethren, for our sister churches. Lord, help us to have that heavenly perspective. That eternal perspective. Lord, this life is soon past. In light of eternity, it will matter little. Father, we pray that we might be faithful through it. Lord, go with us as we go our ways today. Thank you, Lord, for our Savior. Thank you for His completed atonement, for the work of the Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for one another, for your church, for the encouragement we draw from like-minded saints. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.